All rise, all rise. This honorable court is now in session. Please be seated. The defendant shall remain standing. The defendant is before this court today for sentencing, having been previously found guilty of a gun crime by a jury of his peers. Given the severity of this crime, it is the order of this court that the defendant be sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock and time for your Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is another night in Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense, and you are welcome. Welcome all. Did you catch have you caught the story about the Viagra, that it may cause blindness? I'm sorry. It's sad. It's terrible. No drug should be abused. But, hey, quit that or you'll go blind. It's right there. There'll probably be about 6 million one-liners on that one tonight on the various and sundry TV talk shows. Do you remember, and this was provided to me from the website FlorenceDems.org, which is designed by our good friend in South Carolina, David. You remember the day after the election when I said that West Virginia had not had an election so much as an IQ test and that we failed? You remember that, Trita? It turns out I was right. Voting and IQ. Number one in the country, Connecticut, average IQ, 113, went for, in 2004, Kerry. Number two in the country, Massachusetts, average IQ, 111, went for Kerry. Tied for number two, New Jersey, average IQ, 111, went for Kerry. It goes on, New York, 109, Rhode Island, 107, Hawaii, 106, Maryland, 105, New Hampshire, 105, Illinois, 104, Delaware, 103, you get the idea. Now, move down to the Bush states. Number 17, Virginia, average IQ 100. Colorado, average IQ 99. Iowa, 99. Nevada, 99. Ohio, 99. And number 34, West Virginia, average IQ 93. But we're number 34. We're not number 50. Number 50 is Mississippi. You know, home of Trent Lott. 85. Utah, 87. Idaho, 87. You know, these are room temperature IQs. And so, yes, I was correct. In fact, people in states that gave their majority to George Bush are less intelligent. Yeah, you can't get around this. They're just less intelligent than the good Democrat voting states. Sometimes it's tough being so correct so often. But it's the bear I've got to cross, isn't it? Now, you're welcome to participate in tonight's program. We're waiting on a phone call from our good friend, Rick Goodner, to discuss his book, The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder. Now, he's the real thing, Rick is, a genuine certified mental health professional from the state of Texas. All right, Blue Staters, quit laughing. And he has, you know, it's not a terribly thick book, but a lot of good data. He has identified and has real live clients who suffer from this psychiatric malady. We'll talk about it when Rick gets here with us. Also tonight, some other things to discuss. Right here in West Virginia. You remember West Virginia, average IQ 93. You know, that there's a lot of people bringing that down when you consider what mine is and how high. Right here in West Virginia, this from the pages of editor and publisher. The congregation of Davis Memorial Presbyterian Church in Elkins, West Virginia, has voted to fire its minister. Why? Why? Was he preaching heretical doctrine of, non-transubstantiation or didn't agree with the 33rd chapter of Philippians? I don't know. No, actually, I do. They've fired their preacher, a man named the Reverend Jeff Falter, because on February the 26th, he wrote the following. Gay and lesbian Christians are no different than the rest of us. They deserve full equality in the church and in society, for they are my brothers and sisters, people for whom Christ died. We can't be having that. Gotta fire Reverend Falter. Do you believe that? I thought we were getting a break and then this comes up. No, we got to fire Reverend Falter because Jesus very well did not. Jesus didn't love them queers. No, sir. Fire the preacher. Let's say, hey, maybe that Chan Chandler, he's available. He just got canned down in North Carolina. Maybe he can come up here and get all you daggum Presbyterian Bush voting Democrats to come to the altar and Kerry voting Democrats to come to the altar and repent of your sins. Elkins. The members voted 100-72 this past Sunday, I believe, to request that the Presbytery of West Virginia dismiss Falter effective next Wednesday. This is what we have invited to happen to the community of faith in this country when we allowed a bunch of hypocritical, Christ-hating monsters to politicize the process. Not one word out of the mouth of Jesus Christ about homosexuals. Lots of words about helping the poor and the hungry and the helpless. Not one word about homosexuality. And yet this man says, hey, look, you know, gay people are human beings just like us with human rights, and they, you know, Jesus loves them too. Fire him! Fire him! Can't have that! That's wicked and evil! How embarrassing. How embarrassing. So many good people in the state of West Virginia, and a bunch of morons have to ruin it for the rest of us. Oh, my aching back. Tell you what, let's take a quick break. Rick Goodner is with us, and we'll talk about his book when we get back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Let's Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Silent drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rollmakers Drive in Brooklyn. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassle.
hurry, because when the spring sales have been, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down, and no payments will fall. On select models with a free credit, interest accrues when they purchase exactly the world by growth. Free also from up to 60% to your high-level offer ends 5/31/05.
It attacks the brain, and you might not know what hit you.
It's a stroke, and it can cripple or kill you.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. There's no time to waste.
It could even be a sudden, severe headache without cause.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one, slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity
all make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Hawk and Kay.
Welcome back. 16 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. Let's go straight to the phones. The phone number, by the way, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Rick Goodner is with us now. Hey, Rick. Welcome.
Hey, Bob. How's it going there?
The smart Texan.
Hey, I'm very, very sorry I was late getting here, but I was heading down the highway, and, you know, you won't call it a highway, it's one-laner, and a deer jumped out in front of me, froze there with this bush in the classroom look on his face. I'd still be there, but, you know, after 7 minutes, he got his courage up and walked off.
Oh, I got to get the snare drum in here, Rick.
Oh, I couldn't help it.
That's a beauty.
Okay, you're going to have to forgive me. I've developed a bit of a cold, so I may sound a little bit funny. Temperatures dropped down, you know, to 90, so we had kind of a cold spell here.
Ooh, you're batting a million tonight.
Oh, that wasn't a joke.
just so folks can know, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you are the author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder. Man, that's a mouthful.
Uh-huh.
But you are a real, live, honest-to-goodness certified and quite possibly certifiable mental health professional down in Texas, and you've identified something that happens to people who sort of camp out with right-wing media. Is that it?
Yeah, it kind of hit me in a strange way. I was walking past the hospital, and this gentleman kind of drove his pickup up on top of the curb and in front of me. And I kind of walked over to his window to see what was going on, and he had a little shotgun across his lap, you know, which isn't too unusual here in Texas. You usually have them on racks instead of on your lap. And he said that his wife was going crazy on him. So we talked a little bit and come to find out that her only delusions seemed to be related to politics. And we talked a little bit more, and finally was able to get her in for an interview and thing, and lo and behold, could not find anything at all psychologically wrong with her, doing a mental status exam complete, until we got to cognitive functioning.
Now, Rick, back up just a minute, if you don't mind my interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that a lot of people listening to this show have probably never been through the mental health process.
Oh.
I kind of hope. Maybe it might, when you say you did a mental status examination on her, what does that entail?
Okay, you're talking to the patient about the different points of their life. I mean, you're even checking to make sure their fingers are working correctly, their GANs, you know, the walk, everything. You're checking for any homicidal or suicidal ideations. You're checking for delusions. You're checking for any kind of behavior that you would consider or thought processes that would be considered abnormal. Now, you mentioned earlier about the IQ. Now, the IQ is also something that's done through psychologists.
Right.
And I was really shocked to hear the numbers, and I noticed you didn't say Texas, and I think you're probably doing that out of goodness to me, but
I was going to wait for you. Number 40.
Number 40.
Average 92.
Do you realize that 92 is functional retardation.
Really?
Really. 100 is normal. That's the norm. And anything below 100 gets into lower intellectual functioning.
Wow. So the top 16 IQs in the country, number 16 is Maine at 100.
Yeah.
Then 17, Virginia went for Bush at 100. Wisconsin went for Kerry at 100. And after that, it's two digits all the way down.
All the way down, two digits. That's really
so what is a person with an IQ of, let's see, let's be fair, West Virginia, number 34, 93. What is a 93 IQ person?
That would be approaching low intellectual function. You'll get into mental retardation when you hit 70s. You can also, about 87 is high functioning mental retardation.
Wow. That's just a little scary.
Now, what is Texas?
40, 92.
92.
Yeah, the lowest state is number 50, Mississippi, at 85.
85, okay.
That's
please
the
forget
average.
Everything I just said a second ago about retardation.
It's Mississippi. I'm sorry. Low numbers drag down high numbers and vice versa. The highest is Connecticut at 113. The average is 113.
113.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hobby, and people are going to think that we rigged this, and I swear to you it did not happen, and I'm probably going to embarrass somebody here. But I had this hobby, and, you know, it's a pretty strange hobby. But I'll listen to people, especially people on TV, or I'll pick out someone like Stephen King, and I do IQ tests on them.
Huh.
Based upon their word use, their grammar, their relating issues to other books and other things, and I can be off,
mm-hmm.
You know, high or low, but I got 147 off from you.
No kidding. Wow.
Sean Hannity?
Yeah.
102.
Well, yeah, I think you're being charitable there. that's great, Rick, because, I mean, you know, I'm always wandering around. You know, I was raised on Warner Brothers cartoons.
Uh-huh, they work, too.
And I'm wondering, Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Absolutely.
I like the sound of that. No, but I've taken you too far afield, Rick. Let's get back to your book and this lovely lady upon whom you performed the mental status exam. You found her otherwise...
normal.
Yeah.
100% normal. The problem was that the issue was affecting her life. It was causing her to lose friends. It was causing her to drop out of the church, which she was a member of for years. And it was causing her husband to have to drive around with that shotgun over his seat, you know, to carry it with him, because she told him he has to go out and talk to all the Democrats and any Democrat who will not start liking Bush and voting Republican he had to kill. Do you see where the psychosis comes in?
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, checked her, did the entire exam. Then I had to find out if, you know, it may have been caused by drugs or something like that. So I sent her over to the hospital, and they did everything, including a CAT scan. Her doctor, who had known her for years, was quite surprised with her thought process. So she went ahead and ordered an MRI just to make sure there wasn't a tumor involved. She was that concerned.
Right, because tumors and things like that can bring on rather profound personality changes.
Absolutely. You have a complete mental status change with that. And if I do talk a little esoteric or whatever, just bring me back in, okay?
Okay, sure.
Because I start to do this occasionally.
Well, you get into job speak.
Yeah. Talking about that. Okay. Now, the main thing about it was we located that she had a problem. She had some delusions, and she started talking about it, and I could catch some of the delusions, and I knew where they were coming from. Because I do listen to Rush. I do listen to Hannity and Combs. I force myself.
Yeah.
O'Reilly I listen to much less, but I do. I've read everything Coulter has put out. God bless me.
Yeah.
So I didn't almost listen. Please forgive that cough.
That's okay.
And so anyway, I started presenting her with this information. Now, I'm not going to tell you about treatment. Because if I tell you about treatment, someone may go and try this,
yeah.
And without the background, any treatment is guaranteed to fail.
Right.
So I won't do that.
Well, let me just stop you for, and I don't mean to stop and start and stop and
oh,
start.
Oh, please do. Break.
Let's, just so that people won't think, you know, well, Rick's down there in Texas, and, you know, he diagnosed her, you know, with a grass skirt on and a bone through his nose shaking a rattle at her. You used the standard text in the psychological and psychiatric profession is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition, correct?
I am one of the few practitioners who has it not only on his desk, but dog-eared and marked with paper hanging out. I'm looking at it right at this moment. It is the Diagnostical and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association. It is the one definitive book that lists all mental disorders. If there is not one listed in there, they probably don't exist.
From the guy who thinks he's a chicken.
Mm-hmm. That's a delusion.
Yeah, on up, and it's enumerated.
Mm-hmm.
It's set forth in an orderly fashion. You diagnose along.
And they use one
axes.
Right. They use 100 years of clinical experience and treatment to come up with these diagnoses. And then for each diagnosis, you have a differential diagnosis, which is you look at other possibilities before you rule in the one that you think it may be. It's not a simple process. It's something where you're going A, B, C, D, but let's go ahead and take a look at E.
And of course, it's not like a Chinese restaurant menu where it's two from column A and one from column B.
No.
or a Ouija board or anything like that. There's significant science involved here.
There is significant science, and it's not just empirical science. Empirical science is something that you see, but they have also used case studies, and like I said, it's 100 years of bringing up the best knowledge of psychology that they could in one book. And it is to help practitioners eliminate all the possibilities till you get down to just one. And that's what I did in this case.
And is there a code number for what you came up with
in case somebody's got
a copy on their desk?
Yes, I'll get that in a second. I need to first kind of hit on another part.
Okay, go ahead.
Sort of come into this. But talking about the DSM-4, that's what we call it.
Yeah.
Please forgive that cough.
That's all right.
It was a cold spell. You mentioned earlier about, you know, I said most of the mental illnesses are listed in there. Now, if you open up the book, one thing you're not going to find is codependence.
Really?
Everybody believes it's a mental illness. It's not.
I'll be darned.
It's a religious belief system. AA is a religious cult.
Well, sure.
And then
that's not necessarily a pejorative, Rick.
I'm sorry?
That's not necessarily a pejorative.
No. No,
It is what it is.
It was started from the Oxford group, and it was put together based on their rules. All the 12 steps are the Oxford group's 12 steps towards Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it is. You will not find something like that in there. You're not going to find an enormous amount of things that people believe are real disorders listed in there. So it does melt everything down to what is truly a disorder. Okay. Now, to begin with, let's take a look at what a delusion is.
Okay, I tell you what, Rick, it sounds like we're kind of moving into the meat of things. we've got to take our bottom of the hour break.
Sounds good.
You're okay hanging through that?
Oh, I got it. Don't worry about it.
All right, then we'll come back after the bottom of the break. And remember, we're at delusions.
We're at delusions, and I will check with the nurse's station to make sure everything's okay so they don't disturb me.
Thanks. It'll take 5-6 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rick. We're talking with Rick Goodner, author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder, and we're gonna get into the bones of what he's getting at when we come back from our bottom-of-the-hour break. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Serious.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Sheriff's deputies are investigating the armed robbery of a business in Raleigh County Wednesday morning. At around 3 o'clock, someone wearing a mask, jacket, and hooded sweatshirt entered Judy's on Bird Drive across from Crossroads Mall just at about closing time. The suspect pulled an automatic handgun and demanded money from the clerk. He then fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. Anyone with information should call the sheriff's office at 255-9300. One person was hospitalized after being struck by a vehicle near the Oak Hill Dairy Queen last night. Emergency dispatchers say the victim was struck just around 7 o'clock. It's not known if the person walked into traffic or fell out of a vehicle. The victim was taken to Plateau Medical. Name and condition were not released today. Governor Manchin has ordered American and state flags across the state lowered to half-staff on Memorial Day. The governor's action follows a federal proclamation issued by President Bush on May 20th. The flags are to be displayed at half-staff from dawn through noon on Monday. And gasoline prices have dropped in West Virginia for the sixth straight week. The average price of a gallon of regular unleaded fell 4.3 cents this week to $2.05 a gallon. In Beckley, gas is averaging 2.84 cents a gallon. The cheapest gas in West Virginia has been found in Parkersburg at $1.99. Analysts say if the price of crude oil would stay below $50 a barrel, gasoline prices would drop even more. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the Memorial Day weekend for this evening. Showers and thunderstorms. Also tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Low near 52. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And a high near 67. Saturday night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then mostly cloudy the rest of the night. And cooler, too, with a low tomorrow night near 48. Then for Sunday, partly cloudy, high near 70. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low 50. Memorial Day sees a slight chance of showers, with a more likely chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, with a high near 67. And then for Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low near 52. Have a nice Memorial Day weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
90% of the Unite Here Union workers at an Angelica laundry plant in Wichita Falls, Texas, are locked out after walking off their jobs for a day to protest violations of their contract. Unite Here's Amanda Cooper says there's no way of knowing how Angelica workers at other facilities in New York, California, and North Carolina will react to the Texas lockout.
Our hope would be that, you know, that this action that the workers have taken will show the company that they're serious, that they want progress, and that they are only going to be so patient for so long. But, you know, we're continuing to negotiate in the hopes of getting an agreement.
But Cooper says worker patience is wearing thin.
We're continuing to negotiate with the company, but as the negotiations drag on and on, I think we're seeing as a sign of what's happening in Wichita Falls that the workers are getting tired of the fact that change isn't coming.
Mario and Luigi are seeking a bigger share of coins from King Koopa. Just as producers of video game systems prepare to launch a new wave, major video game projects could be put on hold due to an actor strike. The Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists have asked members to vote on strike authorization, and results are expected on June 7th. The unions represent workers who provide the likeness and voices for video game characters. The unions are seeking ongoing payments on games using an actor's likeness that sells 400,000 units or more. The industry prefers making one single payment.
New York's Public Employee Federation will rally at the state capitol June 8th in support of four accountability bills dealing with the privatization of state services. Federation spokesperson Darcy Wells.
One bill would require a cost-benefit analysis before the state contracts out in state services. Another would require state agencies to disclose the cost and number of their contract employees. The third would increase accountability of state authorities and off-budget shadow agencies. And the last one would restrict lobbyists from influencing the award of state contracts.
The point, Wells says, is public employees do it better and in many cases for less money.
In many cases, state agencies don't even know the number of contract employees that are working for them or the cost, and we have independent research that proves more times than not that the private contractors and consultants are more expensive and state employees can do the same work better and for less, and that's the point of all these bills.
Here's today's Now Bob Report. $18.4 billion was appropriated by Congress for the rebuilding of Iraq in 2003. 2 years later, according to Reuters, Iraqis still complain that their electricity grid is more fragile than ever. More than $200 million per week goes to contractors. According to Bill Taylor, the outgoing rebuilding official, in the past 10 months, 57 U.S.-funded electricity projects have been completed, and 103 others have moved forward.
Should the news leader win, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. So watching the upper level disturbance off of the north is going to drag a front, and the isolated threat for thunderstorms continues through tonight. Low around 52 for us. We'll head back to 61 tomorrow, so not exactly a warm Saturday with a 4 and 10 risk for scattered activity as the afternoon develops that heat. Sunday's weather, morning sun, increasing clouds with a dry 71. Then from Memorial Day, partly cloudy, low 70s return.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. About 23 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. We're chatting with Rick Goodner, author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder. Rick has stayed through the break, and you were beginning to go into an explanation of delusional thinking, Rick. Is that correct?
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, delusions is a thought process that doesn't match up with reality. There are different kinds of delusions. There can be jealousy, where a person believes that his wife, you know, this is not just normal jealousy. His wife is not only cheating on him, but all of his kids are not his, although they look like him.
Right.
And that she's probably cheating with him with the devil.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. Then you have a little paranoid delusion, which they believe that people are out to get them, which doesn't mean they're not, but,
it's the unreasonable fear that everyone
has. Unreasonable. They're not only out to get them, they're out to get them because they know secrets of the universe, that if the secret gets out, the government will fall, and so they're out to get them for that.
Or they're communicating with the CIA through their secret flashlight, that kind of thing.
Well, no, they communicate with them through somatic delusion, where they think they have a microchip implanted by the CIA.
Is this the kind of thing that maybe we saw a little bit of or a lot of in Beautiful Mind?
Absolutely. That is it. That is it. That's where that person was so delusional that not only did they believe these things were happening, but they saw the people who were giving them the information.
Right.
Yeah, that's a delusion, okay. And it was based upon paranoia related to communism, which was very big back in the times when this guy was growing up in
right.
the 50s. Please forgive me.
No, that's all right. Don't worry
about it. Okay, and then you got grandiose.
Mm-hmm.
A grandiose delusion is where you believe that, well, you're president of the United States even after you lost the election. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, that works. Look, everybody, I'm Napoleon.
Uh-huh, there you go. Yes, exactly. And then you have religious delusions. A religious delusion is God is talking to me, God is telling me everything I need to do.
Like in God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I did.
Yes.
God told me to strike at Saddam, and I did.
Yes.
And that's delusion. That's delusion.
It's not based on reality. It's a delusion.
In other words, if the voice didn't come booming out of the sky, George, George, strike at Al-Qaeda.
Then it's a delusion.
Okay.
And now, let's take that one step further. Let's say that George, whoever he may be, goes overseas and he's having a little speech and someone throws a hand grenade at him and the hand grenade doesn't go off.
Right.
What does that do for a religious delusion?
Maybe does that give him a full house with the persecution?
That gives him not only that, but God put his hand down there and saved him personally.
And stopped that hand grenade.
Because he now has a mandate and he has to follow follow it through to the end.
Now, I don't know if we want to be talking about Georgia and mandates, okay? I mean, after the Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck thing.
But, you know, those are delusions, and we're just talking, you know, about delusions.
Sure.
So, if you have a person who already has a delusion, let's say Jim Jones, his was drug-induced. He was taking morphine and everything. He had nurses working for him. They were still in it from the hospital. And they were shooting him up every day with morphine and methamphetamines, and the man was fried mentally.
Yeah, some of the same thing is said to have happened to Hitler.
And I can't
remember the doctor's name, but, yeah, had him on everything from aspirin to Zithromax.
So they were given a little bit of arsenic, but just not enough.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
You know, it's passing too much gas, and that seems to help. But in Jim Jones' case, he had a delusion that he was picked by God and then became God to save a certain amount of people. Okay? Now, who is going to join in with this guy and say, yeah, well, you're God, and we're going to do everything you say? How are you going to get people to do that?
You know, my thought would be that you look for the weak-minded, the dispossessed.
Very good.
People casting about for who are weak in some form of faith to begin with.
People who are looking for something. That's exactly it. And the same thing with the Kool-Aid guy, with the castration of the guys who were going up and meeting.
I know who you're talking about. I was going to say the
California.
And the tennis shoes and the and hitching a ride on the Comet.
Now, he's just delusional. But all these other people castrated themselves and drunk the Kool-Aid. You have, and I'm pretty sure of this, I did some long distance. And anything I say I do long distance is not scientific. It is not a real diagnosis.
Right.
Okay? Like your IQ score. It's not real.
Right.
It's just what I think it's close to. But you look at the Branch Davidians.
Right. That was my next statement, David Koresh.
Koresh. The guy, I am absolutely convinced, was manic depressive with psychotic features. Whenever he got very manic, whenever he'd start screaming and hollering and doing his three-day-long preaching sessions, that's manic.
Well, how could it be anything but?
Right, and then he gets more and more delusional as it goes. But how does he get a father to turn over his wife...
Or daughter.
...and son to service Koresh? How does this happen? Whenever you're in a situation... Are we ready to go into this? Where your only communication, your closest relationship, the people or person or people that you trust is there, and they're giving you information day in and day out, even though in the back of your mind you're saying, no, my son shouldn't be going and having sex with this guy, the delusion has set into you, and you started to share the same delusion that Koresh had, that Koresh was Jesus, and he was there as, you know, the seed of David, and that this is the way you're going to get to heaven. And by drinking the Kool-Aid, you're going to get to the spaceship in the tail of the comet. And yes, the people from the government's going to come down and get you and throw you all in jail if you don't drink the Kool-Aid in Guyana. Do you want the saddest part about that was?
What?
Jim Jones, 90% of the people that was in his group did not ask to be there. The state of California court ordered them into his care because it was cheaper than housing and food.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that aspect of it.
It is so sad. Now I'm going to get a little clinical on you.
Okay. So we have defined the means by which a delusion may be shared with otherwise non-delusional persons.
Right. And even if in the back of their mind they start to believe that this is not right, they still don't have enough resources to fight it off because they're being told day in and day out the same story.
And they're overwhelmed and they're group reinforced.
Absolutely. And they're lonely and lost to begin with, and they're looking for something. And they've found a group. They have found someone who says, who's looking out for you? Who's taking care of you?
We are.
We are. The diagnostic criteria for 279.2 shared psychotic disorder is from the American Psychiatric Association Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, as I mentioned before, of mental disorders. Fourth edition. A delusion develops in an individual in the context of a close relationship with another person or persons who have an already established delusion. B. The delusion is similar in context to the person who has had an already established delusion. The disturbance is not better accounted for any other kind of psychotic disorders such as schizophrenia, bipolar, mood disorder, stuff that we've mentioned before, and not caused by drugs or medical conditions. Once you have ruled those out, and the only thing you have left is this persona, this person, this thing that is pumping information into you, delusional information, and you start to believe it, then you have officially crossed the boundaries into a shared psychotic disorder.
Is there another component, Rick? You were talking about that. You mentioned the reinforcement, and you get your information from this single source, who is already deluded.
Mm-hmm.
What about incidences of contact with the outside world? Is it a sort of a situation where you? Where you prep the person and you say, well, you know, sure, you're going to hear from them, and they'll tell you something different.
And they're not going to tell you something. They're going to tell you exactly this, and then they will tell you exactly what they're going to say.
Liberal media, anyone?
I'm sorry?
The liberal media myth?
Yes, the liberal media, if we're talking about it as related to the Fox Central. The liberal media is going to lie to you, and here's what they're going to say. And then they pump them with just enough of that information and then throw the lies or the delusions into it so that that person will instantly discount whatever is said by anybody who's trying to present them with reality.
Sounds like it sounds like that could be incredibly difficult to break through, Rick.
It can be, according to the person. The treatment is extraordinarily simple. Talking the person into taking the treatment is one of the hardest things that can be done.
That's
and in some cases, you can't at all.
Yeah, that's intervention stuff.
Yeah, this is fulfilling. This is very fulfilling for the person. This is something where they have sat around and been lonely and lost, and finally they found their place. Maybe they've been paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's now given them the picture. That's sometimes I kind of want to go back to. We talked the other day with a gentleman from Bell County, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be my half-brother. And he asked a question. He says, you know, what's the percentage when I said 2 million people are paranoid in America? He said, what's the percentage? I did kind of break that down for you. And for my half-brother out there, I'll give this out real fast. What I did with this, I love playing with things, and Rush Limbaugh on one of his programs says, I have 20 million people listening to me.
Yeah, that's 5 million people a day.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So I said, okay, I'm listening to you, and what you're telling me is paranoid dribble. Very paranoid. We're out to get you. They're out to get you. This person's going to do this. This person's going to do that. Everything is put in a way for you to fight off whatever the left is going to put on you next. Because the left is out to get your money, the left is out to take your freedom, the left is out to do all this. So I assume that...
And they won't let you worship.
No, they won't let you worship or not worship.
Right.
So, I broke it down. Paranoid personality disorder comes to 2.5%. Paranoid related to a psychosis comes to 2%. Paranoia related to schizophrenia, 2%. Paranoia with a mood disorder is 2.5%. Now that's 9% of the population of America. Okay?
That's a little scary.
It is. Now, I was going to be real nice to Rush. I just took his 20 million people that he says listens to him, and I worked that out, did my little magic with mathematics, and came up with 20 million people in a population of 281.4 million people in America, that was 2000 census, comes up to 7.1%.
Wow.
7.1%. So that means we have another 2% who are not listening to Russia. But those are numbers that are related to them.
And it's not for want of trying.
not for one of them. Actually, the best thing about it is Russia's numbers are going down. A lot of it has to do with the age of the people that listen to him. Some of it has to do with his acid he spews out. And other people are just brightening up and saying, no, I'm not going for this anymore. Whereas the left, your number, their American numbers, they're going up because younger people are coming in. You have a much younger audience than Rush Limbaugh does.
I wouldn't be surprised for that to be true.
I'm sure of it. Well, anyway, we'll get back to this here. For a shared psychotic disorder to develop in a person, they're going to have a close relationship. And on this, I kind of want to speak to, I think Susie was on the other night.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope that she's on tonight. I kind of want her to listen to it, and I'm going to kind of speak to her a little bit later, too, if that's
fine.
Going to be allowed.
Sure.
But the people that I have worked with usually sit in a locked-up room with the radio going and the lights off, and from sunup to sundown and into the middle of the night, their only contact with the outside world comes through the radio. Some will watch TV and never anything other than Fox. Some will read, mostly Ann Coulter, and then all the Rileys and the other books. But this is their only reality. They're not hearing the other side. They're only hearing about the other side. And what they hear about the other side is that they're evil and they're out to hurt you. So if a person was not inclined to be paranoid to begin with, hearing this day in and day out will make you a bit more paranoid. In the 70s, they found a young boy. He was in his 20s. I guess that's not a young boy anymore, but to me it would be. In a mental institution. He was put in there by his family. He was in there from the time he was 9 years old. And the worker that was working with him kept noticing that, you know, he did show some of the signs of the demented people that he was with, but he wasn't really mentally ill. So they took him out, put him in another environment, tested him. He was not mentally ill. He was a throwaway. He was put in there through legal means and stuff, but he was a throwaway. In the process, to survive, he had to take on the features of the people that were around him.
Makes perfect sense.
You would have to.
Adaptation.
You'd have to. If you don't want to be destroyed, you have to adapt to your environment.
Well, and adaptation has been said to be one of the particular geniuses of the human species.
Absolutely. That's what put us all over the planet and still stuck around the equator.
Right.
We moved.
Look, we can make a coat.
Yeah. Not only that, we can hit these sticks together and actually get some fire out of it. Not bad.
And I'm going to wear that seal. Yeah.
Beat that little thing in the head. I promise not to be making too much fun, but here I go again.
That's okay.
Well, anyway, by working with this young lady and some other patients that started popping up, brought in by other people because they were perfectly happy, I started thinking, this is more than just an isolated incident. And so, of course, like anybody, I threw a little construct name to it. A construct is something that you assume to exist.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it. You're not for sure if it's real, but you're pretty sure it's real. So you just make an assumption that it exists, so you call it a construct. And that's what the Fox syndrome is. It's why I really believe that these disenfranchised, they can be disenfranchised by society or by their own choice. Close themselves off, listen to the people who are telling them what they want to hear, and then they start taking on the delusional political beliefs of those people. If you listen to Fox and no other news, if you watch Fox, from the time you get up until you go to bed, you are going to believe their system of belief.
Well, I don't think that's that out there, Rick. That only makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I mean, that's why I bounce around all over the place, read this guy, that woman, you know, whatever.
Same here. And for the same reason. And then, you know, you kind of think, okay, why are these people saying the same things? What are we talking about a mass conspiracy here? No.
No.
Maybe someone picked these people because they had the same belief system that this person has.
Or they were market identified?
Ah, you got it. They already had a following, and they're easy to present. And plus, they say what you want them to say.
Well, Fox jumped right out there when it went on the air, Rick, with a ready-made audience, because if I recall correctly, mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh was paid absolutely horse-gagging amounts of money to say, "My friends, I've been watching Fox, and never have I seen fairer or more balanced presentation of news."
So the ditto, my luck.
The ditto heads knew exactly where to go.
Absolutely. And when they got there, they heard what Rush was telling them, which reinforced their belief system.
Reinforcement and validation, absolutely.
Over and over and over. And as long as you keep hearing the same story over and over, and especially if it comes from different people, you're going to believe it. Now, the best thing about it is we have people. We have you, Bob. We have you every single day hidden on this and saying, "This isn't true. Here's the proof. Here's where you go and look up the proof." You have Air America doing the same thing. They don't just get up there and rant. They say, "Here's the proof. Here's where you look it up."
Well, I keep saying that my job is easy, Rick, because all I have to do is deal in facts.
Yeah, it's so much easier than lies, isn't it?
Well, you know, Satchel Paige said, you know, soon the trouble in lying is that sooner or later you're going to lie to cover the lie to cover the lie to cover the lie, and you're going to get caught.
Mm-hmm. But the trick is, with a delusion, you don't have to cover a lie. What you do is you repeat the lie over and over, and then the Hitler syndrome kicks in.
The big lie.
Yes. You tell a lie once, some will believe it. You tell it twice, most will believe it. You tell it three times, everyone's going to believe it, including yourself.
And it's been perfected by the Karl Rove bunch, frankly.
I think we may be talking a little bit about that Karl Rove. I'm not so sure that I have his name on this, but I believe that we're going to hit on that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we've got to do our top of the hour break.
You got it. Am I taking up too much of your time?
No, heck no, I'm enjoying this, and I think all the decent liberal progressive people are too.
Great.
And you know, maybe we're reaching out to some of the suffering as well, Rick. I'd like.
Well,
to
I really hope so, and I do want to speak personally to Susie a little bit later, and maybe we can get some things talked about. And if anybody wanted to call in and ask a question, they can do that through you. I'll be
okay. Great.
Answer what I can.
Okay, great. We'll see what we can do.
It's your show.
Yeah, but you're the guest, man. Let's take our break for the top of the hour news, and we'll come back. We're talking with Rick Goodner, author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder, and he's making a pretty strong case for the deliberate mentally illing of America by the right wing. And pardon me if I say that's sick. Mean, rotten, nasty, and lots of other things that I can't say on the radio. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Huh. Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
If you are an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. So watching the upper-level disturbance off to the north, it's going to drag a front, and the isolated threat for thunderstorms continues through tonight. Low around 52 for us. We'll head back to 61 tomorrow, so not exactly a warm Saturday, but a 4 in 10 risk for scattered activity as the afternoon develops that heat. Sunday's weather, morning sun, increasing clouds with a dry 71. Then for Memorial Day, partly cloudy, low 70s return.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. This is head-on for the second hour on a Friday night. Sit back, kick your feet up, open a can, bottle, or something of something cold of your choosing, and just enjoy yourself. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we are talking with Rick Goodner, author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder. And, Rick, I got to tell you, during the break, I took a phone call, and it was one of our devoted listeners who said she just wanted to check in and make sure that we weren't asserting that she was battier than a church belfry because she chooses to live without a lot of media and listens to this station quite a bit. And I explained, no, you're fine. Because this station happily presents a broad range of opinion and a broad range of news and commentary.
As long as you get both sides of the issue,
right,
then you're okay. And it doesn't hurt to occasionally check that out.
Right, just verify.
Verify. Just go to CNN, go to one of the other stations, stay away from Fox.
Right.
Just check it out. I mean, and you can even do Fox occasionally, as long as you keep your mind open and your brain and gear.
That reminds me of Strother Martin in Cool Hand Luke. You have got to get your mind right.
Got to get it right, that's for sure.
Into the box.
let me go ahead with this a little bit more. I'm
sure.
Going to kind of let Ron Suskind kind of explain something to you, and then I'm going to make a little change to his statement. In 2004, New Yorker Magazine did an article by him called Without a Doubt. Now, here's his word. Excuse my cold. In the summer of 2002, after I've written an article in Esquire that the White House did not like about Bush, former communication director, Catherine Hughes, I had a meeting with a senior advisor to Bush. He expressed the White House's displeasure. And then he told me something that at the time I did not fully comprehend, but which I now believe gets to the heart of the Bush presidency, The aide said that guys like me, Ron, forgive me, were in what we call a reality-based community.
Oh, we've talked about that, yeah.
Which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your, you people believe that solutions emerge from your judicial study and discrimination of reality. I nodded and muttered something about enlightened principles and empiricism, and he cut me off. That's not the way the world really works. I'm sorry, he's sitting there saying, yes, we look at things scientifically and logically, and he's being told, no, that's not the way the world works.
I remember reading that, and it scared the daylights out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you reality-based people.
Right. We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you study that reality judiciously as you will, we will act again, create other new realities, which you can study too. That's how things are sorted out. We are history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. How delusional is that?
Oh, that's somebody who was at Woodstock and didn't hear the warning about not taking the brown acid.
The brown acid, do not take the brown acid. Oh, God, I was great at Woodstock today. Anyway, I was thinking about that. Let's just change one word. One word from that statement. And I believe we have Fox's modus operandi.
Okay.
Okay? Let me just reread it with that one word changed. Change act to say.
Okay.
With what we say, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, viciously as you will, we will say something again and create other new realities, which you can study too. Think about a meeting with Hannity. Think about yourself, Bob. You go on there, onto a show, and one thing you can be assured of, he is going to throw out a double-blind question. Whichever way you answer it, it's going to be the wrong way.
Right.
There's no way out of it.
When did you stop beating your wife?
That's exactly it. When did you stop beating your wife, Bob?
You can't answer.
You can. I mean, first thing you're going to do is say, my God, where did this come from? No. And he says, oh, you still beating her? Yes, I have stopped. You know, wait, you have stopped beating her?
Why did you beat her in the first place?
Yeah. No, wait a second. That's not true. I've never beat her. Now, this is where he comes back. It doesn't take too much intelligence to know what your double-blind question is, to set it up and have the answers ready. Now, he's going to come back after you say, I've never beat her, and he's going to say, well, we'll just let the court records tell that story. Then he's going to cut your mic off.
Yeah, oh, sure. And you reference Hannity, but in all truth, Rick, this is the stock in trade of O'Reilly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I did him because I had a second person for you to turn to. Now, what you're going to do, you're going to run out, and you're going to get a statement from your wife saying you never beat her. You're going to go out, and this is what we've been doing. We've been finding this proof. We've been looking for it, and God bless you, people. God bless you. Keep doing it. We got to have that. You go out, and you're going to get the police to say, we've never been called to their house. And you're going to have all this fine stuff, and you're going to run back up there to the show, and Handy's going to say, oh, that's fine. I guess I was wrong, but you can't go on tonight. We have other issues to talk about.
Well, absolutely. And, the same thing happens, in the print media.
Mm-hmm.
If the newspaper makes a mistake on the front page, it prints the retraction on page 19 in the corner down under the obituaries.
In very small letters.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If they even print it. I mean, we do know that Fox has a court agreement that they don't have to tell the truth, so why should they recant anything? Now, think of it this way. You go in, and Hannity says, Bob, are you still beating your wife? You look at him. Deep pity in your eyes, you pat his hand, and as condescendingly as you could say, you say, I'm sure you believe that, Hannity. And then you turn around to Combs and start talking about something logical. Hannity isn't going to take that. He's going to try to break back in. The second he does, you just roll your eyes, be as condescending as possible, and say, yes, we know you think that. You disregard the person. You disregard the words.
You refuse to allow them to frame the debate.
There you go. What you have done at that point is that you have taken all the power. They're creating new realities. Because, see, once he has said that and said, let the court papers decide, everybody in America who is watching him believes you beat your wife.
And that there was court action to prove it.
Right. Although another pops up.
Right.
And they say this with every single thing in the world. It always comes back that way. Like I said the other day, if you have a village idiot, and we all do.
But, yeah.
In fact, my town was so small, we all took turns. but if you have a village idiot, they only become powerful when you stand and listen to them. And once you know someone is delusional, once you say that is a delusional statement, you have just taken away all of their power. I've worked in the criminal justice system. I've worked for criminals. As long as I'd confront them and say, that is a lie, they'd switch over to a new lie. As long as I would say, that is a mistake, it's not true, I know you're not lying, but it's just not right, maybe a little stupid, then they're going to say something just as stupid. But the second you say you are having delusional thoughts, you've taken away all of their power. Who is going to listen to the village idiot?
Other idiots.
Other idiots. Yeah. But first you have to get it out that they are village idiots.
Hey, Rick, we've got to take our quarter-hour break, but I do want to ask you one thing. Above all, how can folks get their hands on your book?
Okay. The best thing to do is just go to Amazon,
mm-hmm.
type in my name, or else type in Fox Syndrome under the book category, and pop, there it will be.
Now, do you have a website of your own?
Yeah, I do, but it's usually for professionals going in.
Oh, okay.
It would be singlermind.com. If they wanted to, I'd certainly send them an autographed copy, but it's going to cost a couple dollars more. Get it cheap, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You had referenced wanting to address a specific concern. Let's take our break and then come back and do that, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, great. Thanks, Rick. Rick Goodner, author of The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder, available at Amazon.com. And we'll bring it kind of close to home when we come back after this break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Where there's a tornado,
or there's a forest fire,
Mother Nature is at her worst.
There's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
On the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Neighbors united for the common good. Honor, the faith that dedication to a noble cause is right, just, and good. Country, a vow to support our nation's people during desperate times. Beauty, honor, country, we're the Army National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD.
The Army National Guard!
Sponsored by the West Virginia National Guard and by the West Virginia Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, y'all, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right, that's it. Come on, y'all.
Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what. For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot. How to walk, talk, brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can use the stove, try to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always,
your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. For women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. A little slowdown in the computer system. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's go back to Rick Goodner. Hey, Rick, thanks for waiting. You said you wanted to address it, address things that you had heard on this program.
Okay, yeah, I heard Susie talking to you the other night, and what you heard was the mantra. It was what has been fed to her, and she has repeated back to you and such. What I want to suggest is, Susie, is that, you know, if you're in your dark room, you're alone, it does seem comfortable when you're hearing the voices of Rush and everybody coming into your house, but you have to realize that they do have another agenda. When you hear Rush talk about a 15% flat tax, think about how much money he's going to make off from that with his $23 million a year compared to, let's say, your $23,000 a year. He doesn't have to worry about deductions. His houses are paid for. When you make that kind of money, you can do that. A lot of these people are doing and saying what they're doing to get you to vote in a way that's going to benefit them personally. Don't fall for that anymore. It's very easy. Go to Amazon, flip on books, type in Rick Goodner, R-I-C-K-E-Y-G-O-O-D-N-E-R, buy the book. If you can't, if you don't have the credit card, go down to the bookstore, ask for it, they will order it in special for you.
Absolutely.
If you don't have the money, and please listen to me, I'm serious here, if you don't have the money, contact Bob, let him know. It can be your grandmother's address, it can be a friend's address, to where to send the book to, and I'm going to send Bob a free book for you, and let him get that to you. Read it. Give me 27 days with the treatment. That's all I'm asking, 27 days with the treatment. And that big empty hole that's been inside you that's been filling up with fear and hatred will disappear, and things will start feeling better again. You'll feel like a child. You'll feel like you were when you're a teenager. Things will start to smooth out once you get the delusional thoughts out of your system.
It almost sounds easy.
It is easy.
And that's an awfully generous offer, Rick. I do appreciate that.
I have no problem with that at all. I do. I heard her voice. I heard the anger. I heard the hurt. Look, if you have a dog, you said you had a dog, right, Bob?
Yeah, several.
Dog loves you, right?
Absolutely.
Dog runs out in the street, gets hit by a car, what's going to happen? You go out to pick it up, what's going to happen?
If it's still alive, it's probably going to snap at me because it hurts.
Right. It's in pain. You take away the pain, and you take away the snapping. You take away the pain, and no one's biting at you anymore. There is no reason for people to be sucked into these delusions and to be hurting all the time. And if this can help, I'm more than happy to do it.
Well, I sincerely appreciate that, Rick. I really do, and you're sincere in your offer, and folks can contact me at bob@headonradio.com, but... If you go, and you can afford the book, it's not terribly expensive. Just go on to amazon.com, Rick Goodner, G-O-O-D-N-E-R, and it's right there for you. One last thing before we go, and I mentioned this to you as a mental health professional, Rick. Do you see the? It seems like there's a steady stream of, and it's not isolated to one particular faith or one particular denomination. There's a steady stream of the child abuse and child sexual abuse coming out of the religious community. There's almost a new story every week.
Yes, we have that quite a bit around here, too. It happens in a family that's dominated by a father who goes straight by the book. Unfortunately, they believe they go straight by the book. They're just picking and choosing as they go through it. They have, we've had women also sexually abusing their children based upon the same thing. It does seem to be more into a religious situation because my guess is, and this is just a guess, it's nothing empirical, nothing. My guess is they do not act on their fantasies in a sexually appropriate way. Instead, they victimize children who they think it'll stay secret with.
They can cover their own kinks,
right.
If you will.
Especially if it's in their family and they have 100% control.
And they've got a structure around them telling them, and they're living the secret life, but they're constantly reinforced by the group around them telling them that they're very, very good people because they obey the particular religious strictures.
I had one woman who was raped by her father. She went to church. She told him in church, she says, I need to get help. He's doing this. He's been doing it since I was 12 years old, and it's continuing, and I'm going to be 20 soon. It's got to stop. They threw her out of the church.
Oh. Well, Rick, I sure do appreciate the time you spent with us this evening. Again, the Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder. It's a fun read. Just, you know, pleasant afternoon on the porch with a glass of iced tea.
I certainly enjoyed it, Bob.
It was, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon, Rick. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, and I really appreciate the info.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. I hope that cold gets better, too. Let's see. Yeah, about 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. What are your thoughts on this? The phone number, of course, I haven't given it out in a while, just to remind you. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620, WWNR, that's 9967. Now, this is not some sort of blanket indictment of Republicanism or even conservatism. This is about delusions that are put out there for very deliberate... very deliberate reasons, not the least of which is money. And as such, it's a little bit different from Michael Savage's book out there that liberalism is a mental disorder, which is just a blanket screed designed, well, look at that, for money. How about that? So again, if you go to Amazon.com, order the book, read it, you'll enjoy it. And it might open your eyes. There's a great discussion in there of the fact that thanks to Fox News, vast numbers of Americans were deluded into supporting this bloody little war and believed things like, well, you remember, and you remember how the government pushed it. Oh, let's see, Saddam was behind 9/11. They pushed that one really hard. Guess who was most likely to believe it? That's right. Fox viewers. Hannity viewers. Rush listeners. It was intentional. You can take that to the bank. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Almost a month after that fatal shooting at the Fayetteville Funeral Home, state police have now interviewed the main suspect. Larry Hess is thought to have shot his son-in-law, Jerry Chesterfield, on April 28th at the Dodd Payne Hess Funeral Home. Hess is the funeral home's co-owner. State police interviewed him for more than 2 hours yesterday in the Fayetteville Law Office of Paul Clay. No formal charges or warrants have been filed in that case, and Special Prosecutor Todd Hawk says he'll study the information Hess has provided, along with evidence being analyzed at the State Police Crime Lab and the State Medical Examiner's Office before deciding whether to press charges. Mercer County authorities continue searching for a green Lincoln sedan that was seen leaving the site of a murder in Green Valley last Thursday. Mike White was shot to death in the parking lot of the Dragon's Den Tattoo Parlor on Route 460, and witnesses say White owned the Lincoln but was attempting to sell it. He had come into the building to get the keys for the car shortly before witnesses heard shots from the parking lot. Police think the shooter was either driving the Lincoln or was a passenger and was using it as a getaway car. Sheriff's deputies are investigating the armed robbery of a business in Raleigh County. Around 3 o'clock Wednesday morning, a person wearing a mask, jacket, and hooded sweatshirt entered Judy's on Robert Byrd Drive across from Crossroads Mall just as they were closing. The suspect then pulled an automatic handgun and demanded money from the clerk, then fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the weekend. For the rest of this evening, cloudy with a chance of showers, or more likely later on tonight with a low near 52. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, cooler with a high near 57. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday night. Then for Sunday, partly cloudy and cooler with a high upper 60s. Memorial Day, a slight chance of showers. And then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon with Monday's high near 67. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. This is Carl Mack when you need to know.
Is there something about being elected to a state legislature that automatically turns an otherwise normal person's brain to silly putty? Medical science needs to study this. Wherever you live, if you take a look at your state legislative body, you'll most likely gag and say to yourself, "What a parade of fools." But let me assure you that your fools will be elevated in your eyes to the vaunted status of noble Athenian statesmen if you'll measure them against the platinum standard of legislative idiocy and ineptitude, Texas. I ask you, has your state legislature taken the time to contemplate the pressing public need to regulate the gyrations of high school teenagers? Texas has, so I rest my case. We're number one. State Representative Al Edwards has boldly gone where only fools dare tread, into the suffocating swamp of teenage hormonal behavior. He's the sponsor of the Texas Sexy Cheerleader Bill, which dictates that our state education agency must intervene whenever cheerleaders in any local school district perform, quote, in a manner that is overly sexually suggestive. Al's bill does not define either overtly or sexually suggestive, leaving such niceties to the pom-pom police that, presumably, would be in the stands with binoculars trained on the teen bottoms of all of our cheerleaders, chronicling every sexually suggestive twitch and jiggle. Needless to say, the education agency was instantly flooded with applicants eager to serve on this don't-shake-your-booty regulatory agency. This is Jim Hightower saying, when the bill reached the House floor, saner legislators derided it as ridiculous, stupid, insulting, and a disgrace. Yet it passed the House. This is the same legislature, by the way, that won't devise a financing plan that would raise our schools to the educational level of, say, Mississippi. But by gollies, Texas is number one in guarding against devilish dancing by cheerleaders.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.kla.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you want to get your hands on a copy of Rick's book, The Fox Syndrome, Right-Wing Media-Induced Shared Psychotic Disorder, there's a couple of places you can go. You can go to WhiteRoseSociety.org, and there's a link to Powell's books there. And that'll be simple and easy. There's also a link at Florence Dems, FLORENCEDEMS.org, and there's a link to Rick's book there. Good places to order in both instances. Let's go to the phones now. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, just dandy. I enjoyed the conversation.
A very interesting guest you have on.
Well, thank you.
Very interesting. You know, a lot of these people who are slaves of the religious right and other cultist groups, and that's what I call them, I have found them to be extremely lazy, weak-willed people who particularly are devoted to having other people think for them.
Oh, absolutely.
And they don't want to have, you know, they don't want to have to make decisions about certain things, and so it's much easier for someone else to say, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go, this is what you need to believe. And then, of course, you have conclaves of these people. They get together, and with what little will they have left, then they will reinforce one another. And that's basically how that works.
Well, yeah, and it's much easier for a cult, the leader of a cult, it's much easier for that person to get membership from the select group, Jim, of people who want to be led.
Well, you know, when Leni Riefenstahl, Hitler's cinematographer, made the film The Triumph of the Will.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she was absolutely right on target. That's exactly what it was about. The triumph of the greater will over the lesser will.
Hey, Jim, I got something you might like to hear since we're going to talk about propaganda, or since we are talking about propaganda.
Yes.
I want you to check out this quote from Dear Leader, okay?
Yes,
you
sir.
You retire, you don't have anything to worry about. It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Now, I didn't monkey with that at all, Jim.
In other words, he was talking about Social Security.
Yeah.
And he said you got to catapult the propaganda.
Yes, indeedy. And he meant it.
Of course he did, because the man is a consummate liar.
And you know, can you imagine his little handlers backstage or wherever? Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, I mean, you know, he's speaking to anonyms, Bob. Yeah. Anything he says, well, I believe the exact opposite. And if anyone is so stupid that they can't see through that, well, I feel sorry for them. Well, if that offends some people, I'm very sorry if they're offended.
Well, consider what Rick said during the interview. You repeat it, and you repeat it, you repeat it, and then you've got Dear Leader there admitting it.
Well, he's just using Joseph Goebbels' propaganda techniques, that's all.
And they have
Hitler's propaganda minister, and, you know, just keep repeating it, and, you know, pretty soon you'll start believing it yourself. And, you know, people, and you have the Hannity and Combs and the Rush Limbaughs and the O'Reillys of this world. These are extremely predatory individuals.
Oh, absolutely.
And they like to prey upon people who are not as well informed or less well educated, and people who are, you know, fairly simple. And many of them are very good people, good-natured people, well-intentioned people, but then their thought processes, because of this constant bombardment of the same continuous lies, the drumbeat, the metronome, it simply, absolutely, eventually, just by the pressure of osmosis, comes in, and it begins to change their thought processes. And not for the good.
No, and you've got to start with people who are malleable in the first place. Again, consider this list. 1 through 16, the highest IQs in the country, also are 16 states that went for John Kerry. Then you get your Alabamas and your Tennessees and your North Carolinas and Arkansas, and they're as red can be, and, you know, 92 IQ, things like that. You know, and according to Rick, when you're getting down there in the low 90s and the high 80s, you're running into people that have trouble getting their shoes on in the morning.
Absolutely. The reason I call, and I'm going to be very quick here and get off and let somebody else take time, because I know you've got a lot of people that want to talk, is this is, of course, Memorial Day, as you well know.
Yes, it is.
And there's something that I just wanted to share on the basis of that, and this is my way of remembering those people who have given the last full measure of devotion and provide the blanket of liberty under which we sleep. And also for 10 dear friends of mine who were with me at the Citadel who left their lives in Southeast Asia. And it's a poem by Hermann Hesse. Mm-hmm. And it was later put to music by Richard Strauss in Four Last Songs. And it's called Beim Schlafengehen, which means going to sleep. And here are the three verses. Okay?
Okay.
Now that I feel the tiredness of the day, my deep longing shall welcome the starlit night as a weary child does. Hands cease your toiling, head forgets about thinking, for all my senses now are longing to sink in slumber, and the unguarded spirit wants to float on free wings, so that in the magic circle of the night, it may live deep, it may live deeply and a thousandfold.
Beautiful stuff.
I think so. You know, it was, I think Lytton Strachey, he said when he was dying, if this is death, I don't think much of it. But when Strauss died, and he had written a number of songs, Death in more work, Death and Transfiguration, he basically said, you know, this is exactly what I thought it would be. Well, it's something we all have to do, and these people that we remember this weekend, many of them have done it prematurely.
Yeah.
And have not lived to enjoy the benefits of the sacrifices they made.
Well, you know, down at that website I mentioned, FlorenceDems.org, from Florence, South Carolina, there is a memorial to a fellow by the name of Sergeant Major Michael Boyd Stack.
Right.
5th April 1956 to 11th April 2004. This guy was a sergeant major. And, you know, there's just, relatively speaking, there's not just boatloads of sergeant majors.
No.
And this man had been in the military since 1977, and he was wasted by George Bush on the 11th of April, 2004. And he left, my goodness, his wife and 6 children and 3 grandchildren because of a man who thinks that the military are toys and they deserve to be remembered and they should be remembered well and lovingly as this weekend comes.
Well, I would think so, absolutely. And, of course, there are a lot of people who... The ones who strut and fret and carry on the most are the ones who have never had to shoulder that weapon and take that responsibility and be in harm's way themselves.
Sunshine Patriots.
Exactly. And if perchance there are people out there, or someone out there who, and I think I saw this on your message board, who says that they know where I live.
Yeah.
They're welcome to come. But I would suggest this for them. That if they come in mischief, they should come well confessed, because I will send them to God for judgment.
Well said, Jim. Well said. Thanks for the call.
And I mean that.
I know you do. And you have yourself
a
reflective Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, leave me open. I want to hear the comments, will you?
Okay, take care. And your rock meal. Hey, your rock meal, you're head on. Thanks for waiting. I appreciate it.
Well, it's not head off.
Pardon?
Not head off.
No, it's head on.
Well, the way things are, I don't expect to get much of people with their head on.
How are you this evening?
Well, I'm trying to be positive. I originally called you. It's really interesting that you had a guest on there, but I'm trying somehow in a most constructive manner. You know, because I've been listening to your program for a long time. And see, this guest, he's talking about, they have a program, the Republicans and the right, they have a program, all right?
Right.
And he's addressing that program from a psychiatric point of view, which is, you know, psychological. And there's a lot of truth in what he said, but I'm sorry to say that I don't reserve all of that stuff just for the Republicans. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I think he touched on that a little bit as well, Yurok Mill, when he said that if you sit and you take a steady diet of anything, that it's not good.
Okay. I have a word. Now, since it's been a while since I've been involved in his field, because, you know, I've read and, you know, I've been into a lot of different things. But you remind me, there's a thing they have in his field, which they call feedback.
Right.
Okay. I'm trying to, you know, I was going to joke around with you and say, oh, Bob Kincaid, a man who preaches the Bible, ought to practice the Bible. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And sometimes you do preach the Bible, and I suppose everybody could say, what do you mean? Ronald Reagan also preached the Bible. Who doesn't preach the Bible? I try to study the Bible with people more than preach it. That sort of kind of leaves me in a safer position.
Well, and you come from a tradition that believes in studying of the Scripture.
But feedback, here's the thing. Maybe it's a good thing you had a psychiatrist on there, because
We all have a tendency to get carried away with ourselves. And sometimes we get out of hand, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I'm not crazy about the psychotherapeutic fields. I think there's a lot lacking there. But one purpose they serve in our society is to prevent people from, you know, snapping. By the way, Timothy McVeigh tried to call one of them because he, as a veteran, he could have gotten help. And they said, well, you know, who are you? You know, he said, well, can I talk to you without telling you my name? This is what I heard. I don't know if it's true. And he said, can I talk to you without telling you my name? You know, it's very embarrassing when you have such thoughts. And they said, no, we have to know who you are. So the bureaucracy, you know, how many times people fall through the cracks. Could you imagine if he went to a psychiatrist and somehow got talked out of it? See what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And Tim, was it Tim Hagen or O'Hagan in, Massachusetts, an editor of a newspaper? He was depressed. He called for help, and he couldn't get it. His insurance didn't cover it, or that maybe they didn't know how to use it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did we define credit? He tried to offer to pay cash. They said it was too expensive. He called various numbers. He had a clinical depression. And,
yeah.
You know, I believe in spirituality, but the man didn't have it. Maybe he was talking to the wrong person. I don't know. But eventually, he couldn't get any help. He killed himself.
Right.
And what I'm just saying is, well, anyway, there seems to be some kind of failure there. But my, you know, what I'm leading up to is feedback. Let me give you an example. I listen to your program,
mm-hmm.
and I know you're zealous, and I'm also zealous. Look, I called Bill O'Brien today, and I started talking in a very nice way, and it got off into a diatribe.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. I said some good things, but, you know, for example, I heard you praising Senator Byrd a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
To the sky? I mean, just about made him a Christ-like person.
Well, I don't think I did that, but...
I mean, you know, the way he lives it, quoting the King James Bible. I said, was it Bob Kincaid praising somebody for quoting the King James Bible in the Senate?
Well, that had to do with sort of the King James Bible part was a direct slap at the religious right, and I recognized it for what it was. Because a lot of these right-wing religion industry people swear up and down that that's an evil Bible, and they can only use the New International Version. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I didn't know that. You have to use the New International Version.
I don't know, maybe the RSV. I'm not sure.
Well, I just wanted to remind you. See, let me give you an interesting thing on this. That Bible, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, that Bible that Senator Byrd respects so much includes, you know, Jesus went and picked his apostles. One of them was John, known as the beloved apostle. And I heard you, based on an obscure quotation from Thomas Jefferson, who you know is sometimes kind of adolescent. He called people rubbish, you know.
Yeah.
He was human, and I understand his statements. I don't take things on the surface. But now you just about nearly stomped the beloved Apostle John into the ground.
I did?
Yeah, I heard you. Thomas Jefferson, he was a raving lunatic, and to prove it, you said the Romans sent him into exile into the Isle of Patmos, and I mean, you just attacked him.
Well, now there is a school of thought that says that Christ's apostle John the Beloved is not the same John as the John of Patmos.
That's another obscure possibility. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if it is, we have to consider the fact that he's included in the canon, which was not written by a central, contrary to the this popular movement. I don't know, it's the Jesus Seminar. I don't want to misquote the Jesus Seminar, but some people are putting out this idea that a bunch of conniving priests got together in the Vatican and gave us, you know, the parts of the Bible that they wanted to shove down our throats.
I always understood that it happened at the Council of Nicaea. That was where the current canon was put in place.
Okay, I've been studying this, and I was very happy to find out the canon, you know, first of all, there was preaching the gospel by word.
Right.
And as time goes on, people said, well, we better write it down, because, you know, time is going on, and people will forget, and so on and so forth. So they started to write. Sometimes they wrote letters, just like I could write you a letter, and sometimes they wrote books like a gospel, you know, or a revelation. And eventually, they started circulating them. But this happened throughout Christendom. This was not something that happened in Rome in the 4th century.
Most of
the 4th century came, these things had been circulated and scrutinized, you know, in Alexandria, Rome, and all the other centers of Christendom. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And of course, scholars tend to agree that there is a source gospel in, I think,
the Q document. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I happen to disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because that assumes that it's like in evolution, everything evolved from one cell, you know what I mean? The whole universe evolved from one mass. But when Jesus came, he was not taken in, you know, like, he was taken in a pluralistic way from the beginning.
And the different people had different interpretations of his life.
Yeah, and maybe not in different, maybe a different aspect, because he was addressing things that you could look at from different angles, and it's merely a matter of addressing it from different angles. But, you know, sometimes, well, my feedback is, I mean, I was shocked. I could understand a person having questions about John. I have a long list of questions about the Bible. Do you think that I study the Bible like you know, one of these naive people?
No.
You know how many times I wanted to throw the Bible out of the window? Because I found problems with the text. I found problems with the interpretation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you take a rabbinical approach to the study.
I'm willing to question. I can't just accept anything without looking into it. But, this man that you interviewed, since you interviewed him, I don't want to get too far off the topic, since you spent so much time with him. This problem of, I wanted to add a couple of thoughts. One of them is the relationship between homosexuality and paranoia, which is a Freudian concept. Because, you know, you talk about the gay bashing, right?
Right.
And you mentioned there's a paranoia. And according to Freud, the paranoia is a defense from homosexuality, which is not on the conscious level, which you might call latency. Yeah, and it sounds a little bit, you might have to, people not familiar with psychoanalysis may sound like some kind of philosophy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've actually seen, having studied that, I once met a young man who was, I could tell he was paranoid. I mean, I would walk down the street with him, and things would bother him that wouldn't bother another person in a million years. What the people are doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything was threatening to society and the people, and everything he saw, he always found something negative in everything he saw. And I noticed that he was not homosexual, but I felt that he was kind of friendly with homosexuals, and he didn't like women too much. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Et cetera, and so forth. And he had trouble with his mother, and he said, he would have sex, it's beneath him. And I said, man, this guy's flat out. But, you know, I'm just saying what I read in Freud, which sounds like a theory, if someone had more experience, they might have actually seen people like this. But there's a relationship there. And another idea I wanted to add, since, you know, I went into a lot of these subjects, you know, in my own analysis.
Sure.
Another thing I wanted to add was alienation. Oh, yeah, he's saying, he asked a question that I asked a long time ago. This question was really eating away at me. What in the gosh darn heck makes people believe in something, especially a person? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And I also read, I think he read more about Jim Jones than I did on a I try to read about him, but sometimes the people writing about him didn't have the kind of background to give me what I needed, you know.
Yeah.
They were just a journalist or something. But I wanted to say this phenomenon. People are alienated. You know, we're so alienated. I mean...
Oh, we as a nation, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, there's a vacuum. I mean, people are starving. I mean, why do people join the... Why do kids join the trench coat mafia? They're starving.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with Erickson. Erickson says, okay, what's the trouble with today's youth? It's us. We. It's our fault.
Yeah, the people raising today's youth are the problem with today's youth.
Yeah, or the elders of society, parents and all the other elders, we're not providing, I mean, we don't give them what they need, so they're going to join the trench coat mafia.
Well,
and so, you know, you say, what makes a person, for example, I'll call up Sean Hannity and say, it's so refreshing to listen to you. I live on the Beltway, and there's a bunch of liberals down here. he's like an oasis in the desert, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have, for example, some people try to befriend me, I told you maybe a few months ago, and I didn't know they were a cult.
Yeah.
But I found out, I visited them, and I noticed that they were trying to manipulate me socially. And I try to discuss, you know how did you try to have a two-way street with people, and you find out that everything's a one-way street.
Yeah, and the minute you raised that issue, the hackles came up, and it became a more hostile situation,
right.
Didn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, they are experts. They know more than the psychiatrist that you interviewed, because the devil always knows more. I mean, Hitler was a genius at manipulation.
Absolutely.
And as much as you study it as a scholar or a professional, you couldn't do it. I mean, you wouldn't want to do it, but the point is what makes people go along with these things? These Republicans, and I'm not saying that Democrats and liberals don't use demagoguery, don't use psychology. Oh, I'm not saying that. But let's deal with the problem of today, okay? The problem of today is that these Machiavellian geniuses, if people, George Bush, as much as he's an idiot or acts like an idiot, either he's getting, directions from somebody who's smarter than him, or he's just putting on a show that he's dumb, one or the other.
I tend to ascribe to the former theory as opposed to the latter.
That people are giving him advice.
Yeah, the puppet masters are true geniuses.
Right.
Evil geniuses, but geniuses.
Right. And the thing is, they have tapped into, this is what, I've got to get this message out. I laughed at Y2K, I've never used the word Armageddon before in my life. I'm beginning to suspect, I don't care why it's happening. You want to say self-fulfilling prophecy, that's beside the point. It's happening. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But whether it's brought about through whatever means, maybe it's not happening because of the prophecy, because someone wants the prophecy to be fulfilled, that's too complicated for me. There's this conflict. You have two opposite sides, and they're blind, and they have tapped into a certain subterranean aspect of the population's psyche, way down there, which needs to be analyzed on the Freudian, Jungian, Adlerian, you name it, Ericksonian basis. There's something sinister. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of man?
Yeah, something just, wicked this way comes.
Yeah, and just like Hitler was a genius, the youth, the disenfranchised working class. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He knew everybody's weakness, and they're using this now. And boy, we better get smart to this business, because if we keep on going in this direction, we just about nearly have Hitler right now. By the way, speaking of abominations like homosexuality, we got an abomination at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and it didn't get there by accident.
No.
That's where the abomination is.
Absolutely. Well, you're right, Mill, we've got to roll.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the conversation. I appreciate it. And more of your calls when we come back, if you wish. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsis. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through
us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Independent on News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620, WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. So watching the upper-level disturbance off of the north, it's going to drag a front, and the isolated threat for thunderstorms continues through tonight. Low around 52 for us. We'll head back to 61 tomorrow, so not exactly a warm Saturday, with a 4 and 10 risk for scattered activity as the afternoon develops that heat. Sunday's weather, morning sun, increasing clouds with a dry 71. Then from Memorial Day, partly cloudy, low 70s return.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Email from Jeff in Pennsylvania in reference to Rick Goodner's book, The Fox Syndrome. He says, that's a book I'll have to put on my to-buy list. He said, I heard the show the other night when Susie called in. I hope she takes up the offer. If it's any inspiration, I also hope she would read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. That's been a personal inspiration since March 19th, 2003. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. And we work on the technical aspects. He noted the fact that our bumper music and bottom of the hour breaks and things like that are kind of hot. Some of these things are beyond our control or beyond our ability to figure out how to control. So, yeah, but thank you. And we'll take a run at it. And he says, keep up the good work. Yep. We aims to please, and thank you for your email, Jeff. Did you catch this back this past Monday? It was one of those fleeting blurbs on the 24-hour news channels, you know, desperate for information. Right now, is the guy off the crane in Atlanta yet? Do you care? Except for the fact that, you know, human being, sure, but national news, guy climbs crane in Atlanta over Peachtree Street? No. Well, back last Monday, it was a suspicious package, possibly a pipe bomb, has been found along the side of Interstate 75 and Daniels Parkway have been shut down in Florida. And it was... Well, a motorist called the Lee County Sheriff's Office in Florida Monday shortly after 3 p.m. about a suspicious package on the side of the road under the northbound Interstate 75 overpass. It was a cylinder more than a foot long in a plastic bag, and it was wrapped with duct tape. And it looked like a pipe bomb, and was in a position that could cause structural damage. Now, last night we had a conversation with Cherie. And we talked about bullying. And I referenced the fact that if you take the supposed logic exercised by people like Hannity and other right-wingers, to wit, they were talking about this rainbow party, an oral sex party, and the comment was made, you do understand, of course, the role that Bill Clinton plays in this. With the implication being that no one ever had that done to them or did that before Bill Clinton. Well, if you take that logic and you look at the bullying that we have in our schools, and remember there was an anti-bullying project, well, then... the bullying problem we have growing in America is a reflection of its leadership, because our dear leader at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is, in fact, he is what he is, he's a bully.
And bullies are, as you well know, the hard, cruel, vicious, outward manifestation of the interior coward. And so, if you take it, you know, we're working with Hannity's, the right wing's logic here. A nation reflects its leadership. You know, our teenagers are sex-crazed little, what, monkeys because Bill Clinton had a girlfriend. We have bullying problems in our schools because dear leader is a bully. And we are now, I'm sorry, sad to say it, a coward nation. We're a torture nation. We're a coward nation. What proof can I offer? All right. How about the little single-engine aircraft that put Washington, D.C. into a panic a week or so ago, a week and a half, whatever? What do you think? And let's try this one on. The supposed pipe bomb in Florida that got everyone up in a dither. Well, that was a fake foot-long plastic penis. That's right. I-75 in Lee County, Florida, was shut down over a foot-long fake plastic penis.
The suspicious package that caused Interstate 75 and Daniels Parkway to be shut for more than an hour Monday was not an explosive pipe bomb, but rather wrapped-up plastic foot-long penis.
Someone took construction-grade plastic, molded it into a penis, and wrapped it with duct tape. That's right, Jesse Fulmer, it was a suspicious package. There's no hope for you. Someone took construction-grade plastic, molded it into a penis, and wrapped it with duct tape, said Lee County Sheriff's Deputy Charles Ferrante. They wrote Happy Father's Day on the duct tape. If you're going to hemorrhage there, Jesse, call 911, okay, buddy? I'm thinking somebody was not real happy with their dad. Or maybe their hubby. But in Florida, the land where you can shoot anybody you want to as long as you say that you were scared of them, they are so nervous and so scared, and we are as a nation. If you don't reelect George Bush, the terrorists will strike us again. Oh, thank you, Vice President Cheney. A foot-long... Okay, journalism moment. This is the headline. Suspicious package was fake foot-long plastic penis. The operative word there is fake. How do you have a fake plastic? Is it fake plastic? Or was it real plastic? The device was first described by the sheriff's office as a prosthetic penis. Later, cops described it as a paper sculpture made to look like one. So maybe it was fake plastic. And the Corporal Larry King, "Hi, gang!" Said... the rumor that it was actually a prosthetic penis just took a life of its own. It was not detected until the suspicious package... It's in the story, too, Jesse. It was not detected until the suspicious package was removed. Ouch. What was the package suspicious of? Got some real, real grammar issues there at the news press. Deputies arrived and alerted the bomb squad, which used a robot to disable the cylinder. North and southbound lanes of Interstate 75 were closed for about an hour because we are a coward nation. We are scared rabbits.
911, can I help?
Yes, I'd like to report what appears to be a pipe bomb on the side of I-75.
Oh, do you mean the plastic penis?
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
This is what shame have we been subjected to by these monsters in the White House? Oh, and here's some happy news out of North Carolina. You're going to love... Oh, wait, let's do a break first. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Let's Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota, 300 Rollmakers Drive in Rexley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great place, great selection, no hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models for the group that have entered through today purchase adjustment worldwide. Roll 306 on us with 60% to 6.9% of your finance offer ends 5/31/05.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific. Yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother of the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled the breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that we'd soon find out was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
A man who just loves conservatives. Eggs boiled or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Friday night. Wow, running out of time. Got a, oh man, 3-day weekend to slog through. Now we'll have some fun. Got a little league game going tomorrow. Pictures, maybe play a little golf, do a little barbecue over the weekend, fire up the smoker. But there will be no show Monday night. We will be dark, as the saying goes. Let's go back to the phones. Jose has been waiting patiently, and we do appreciate it. Now, this is the point where you say, hold please, and you stand by. There we go. And Jose. Hey, Jose, you're Head On. Jose? There you are.
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. It works a lot better when we press the button.
Yeah. Well, y'all have had some problems up there. I don't know if I should start with the back door or the front door tonight with you.
Any way you want to go.
Well, Rick in Texas, I gleaned from him that the president now is like Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and a lot of these other so-called religious leaders, hearing voices telling them.
Yep. I mean, what happened with George Bush was a published account, Jose. You know, it was in Haaretz over in Israel. He said to the guy, God told me to strike Osama, and I did. God told me to strike Saddam, and I did. He didn't say God inspired me to. He didn't say, God, you know, reading the Bible led me to this conclusion. No, he said God talked to him.
Well, that's a, like he says, that's a mental problem.
I believe so.
So he needs help.
Help it out.
He mentioned schizophrenia, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Schizophrenia to me is like a hypocrite.
They probably share some of the same elements.
Okay, thank you. Paranoid, you can be paranoid to a certain extent and still be normal.
Well, paranoia is the unreasonable fear that other people are out to get you. If people are actually out to get you, you're not paranoid. If you just believe that people are, for no apparent reason, on a delusional basis, that's a mental illness.
Uh-huh. All right, thanks. And all these mental things got started back with World War One with the Spanish flu.
Oh, that flu wiped out, what, 700,000 Americans?
Well, it was 20 million all over the earth, but now they've gone up to 21 million before it died. See, my father-in-law had it, and he was down for about 3 months. My mother's people had it, my mother had it, and my grandpa died in 1919 with it. And it affected the children. The offspring.
Doubtless.
And it says through the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. It says here, Dr. Ravenholt's findings in Medical World News, that it affected heart disease among the people today, could have originated with the flu, damage to nerves controlling their hearts, Alzheimer's disease, lung and stomach cancer, as well as gastric and duodenal ulcers also were implicated from that disease. Now, my son, through his father and through my mother, they said he had mental problems. And he's been doctored for it.
Uh-huh.
And I believe you can inherit these diseases through your parents and so forth and so on down the line.
Genetic damage? Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what it is, genetic. So it's been a battle for me for the last 10 or 15 years with him. But he's doing better now.
Oh, good.
And I appreciate listening to him. And on your subject, phallic worship?
Well, I don't know that it was worship, but it was certainly...
Or obelisk?
Well...
Findings?
Okay.
The Washington Monument is...
It's the world's largest phallic symbol.
Right. And they're in front... These steeples and things are the same thing in front of all these churches out west, the Mormons and so forth. And then you take a cross and put on top of them. And the Egyptians carried crosses long before Christ came.
The Ankh. The Ankh symbol.
And even today, the arrow and the cross is on men and women's the bathrooms. And
yeah, the universal symbols for men and women, sure.
And it's sex worship.
Well, it's a manifestation of sexuality. I think there's no doubt about that.
It's like the rabbit, and you went over there around Easter time and explained to all them people about it. It's all in the same boat, Bob.
Well, it's a manifestation of old pagan concepts, and you see the same thing. Frequently in religious art, you'll see, you know, they're generally referred to as a Madonna. It's Mary holding the baby Jesus. Those are taken directly from the old Egyptian statues of Isis holding the baby Horus, was it? H-O-R-U-S? I think so.
You sound right. But it's Nimrod and his mother, you know, too.
Yeah, yeah.
The origin of it.
And it's part of our cultural legacy. It's part of things that are remembered down through the ages.
Well, then that's what's made society the way it is today, and it's done got so bad that, like you say, it's a sinking, debauchery, and all that stuff.
Well, we're an alienated culture, Jose. We're alienated one from another, from our neighbors. We've talked about it before on this show. You can live for 20 years next door to somebody and have no idea who they are now in America, and that's wrong. That's a society in real crisis.
I used to live in Maryland, and my neighbor come over one time, and he said, says my wife ran off with another woman, and he started telling me the story. She drove a school bus. He said, how do you compete with another woman?
I don't think you can.
Well, I didn't know. I was a young man then. I didn't know really what to say. Still really don't know what to say.
I don't know that there is anything to say, Jose. I mean,
and I was approached one time by a homosexual in Washington, D.C. I was just lining my tickets up in the truck on New Jersey Avenue, and he came over the truck, and he wanted to perform the act on me in the truck. And I told him, no, that I didn't do bad things like that. He started saying, well, you think I'm crazy. I says, I think you just need some help. And he told me the reason why he became a homosexual, that he said he couldn't satisfy his wife and he could satisfy men. Now, it was a story a homosexual told me in the District of Columbia.
Well, I think we're finding out more and more that that people, you know, they're all, it's like what the minister from Elkins said. They're all God's children. God made them all. And if
he didn't make me no homosexual, or you.
No, but he made some.
Well, when he used the word all, he was offline there.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
English,
I mean, when you say all, that means, why didn't everybody be born homosexuals? I think women's homosexuals, too, like when you mentioned oral sex there in the 1600s. And no wonder they got cancer of the throat and the stomach and everything, Bob. Disease is going to wipe them out, and their nose and everything.
It may indeed. Jose, we got to roll on. Thanks so much, and you have a great Memorial Day weekend, all right?
Y'all be blessed.
And you as well. Take care. More of your phone calls when we come back. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
You know what?
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Sheriff's deputies are investigating the armed robbery of a business in Raleigh County Wednesday morning at around 3 o'clock. Someone wearing a mask, jacket, and hooded sweatshirt entered Judy's on Bird Drive across from Crossroads Mall just at about closing time. The suspect pulled an automatic handgun and demanded money from the clerk. He then fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. Anyone with information should call the sheriff's office at 255-9300. One person was hospitalized after being struck by a vehicle near the Oak Hill Dairy Queen last night. Emergency dispatchers say the victim was struck just around 7 o'clock. It's not known if the person walked into traffic or fell out of a vehicle. The victim was taken to Plateau Medical. Name and condition were not released today. Governor Manchin has ordered American and state flags across the state lowered to half-staff on Memorial Day. The governor's action follows a federal proclamation issued by President Bush on May 20th. The flags are to be displayed at half-staff from dawn through noon on Monday. And gasoline prices have dropped in West Virginia for the sixth straight week. The average price of a gallon of regular unleaded fell 4.3 cents this week to $2.05 a gallon. In Beckley, gas is averaging 2.84 cents a gallon. The cheapest gas in West Virginia has been found in Parkersburg at $1.99. Analysts say if the price of crude oil would stay below $50 a barrel, gasoline prices would drop even more. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the Memorial Day weekend for this evening. Showers and thunderstorms. Also tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low near 52. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and a high near 67. Saturday night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, and mostly cloudy the rest of the night, and cooler, too, with a low tomorrow night near 48. Then for Sunday, partly cloudy, high near 70. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low 50. Memorial Day sees a slight chance of showers, with a more likely chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, with a high near 67. And then for Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low near 52. Have a nice Memorial Day weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder, which makes it a cinch to feed while you water. What's the hottest trend of gardening this year? Well, head to the country. You see, romantic country gardens are the way to go. Now, you don't have to be in the country to have a country garden, and no garden is too big or small to get a country touch. You see, country gardens are all about perennials that strut their stuff from spring until fall. They're about sweeping borders full of color and fragrance. And don't forget the flowering shrubs and trees that will become the backbone of the garden. Country gardens have some of those old-fashioned perennials that your grandmother probably had. In the spring, perennials like bleeding hearts, peonies, and iris lead the way. Spring bulbs bring hyacinths and daffodils. Come midsummer, you've got the jewel tones of coneflowers, black-eyed Susans, and summer phlox. The shady areas come alive with varieties of hostas and ferns. In the fall, the mums and sedums take center stage. And remember, you can keep the show going and produce longer-lasting blooms by feeding your flowers a bloom booster-type plant food. And there's an added bonus. Country gardens also smell good. The key to a successful country garden is having easy-to-care-for perennials that come back year after year, filling your garden and home with colorful and fragrant flowers. 12 minutes. That's all it takes to water and deep feed most gardens with the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder. You drop a pre-measured packet of Miracle-Gro into the feeder's bowl, hook it up to the hose attachment, and you're off and feeding. I'm Peter Strauss, asking you to join me again for another edition of Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro.
Beef cattle producers are facing a significant decision this spring, and it could affect your farm income. That'll be our focus on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Ish.
We do a lot of body clipping, and wall clippers are the best for that.
Amy Dean, Lonesome Dove Stables, Dunlap, Tennessee.
You don't want to clip it when it's hot. It's uncomfortable, and it slows you down. Wall clippers run cooler, so I can go from the horse's body to his face to his bridle pack to his fetlocks.
See the full line of wall corded and cordless electric clippers at your local tax store or online at valleyvet.com.
We know we can depend on wall.
Wall clippers, strong, stable.
Cattle producers all around the United States are facing a big decision this spring. Let's get the details from Gary Crawford.
Feeder cattle producers are approaching the moment of truth, decision time. Sell those heifers or hold them back for breeding. Agriculture Department livestock analyst Ron Gustafson told us.
We'll be watching, you know, that sector fairly carefully over the next several months because we're approaching the breeding season, and they'll have to make up their mind, are they going to breed these heifers or go ahead and sell them at these present record high prices? It's going to be a hard decision to make.
Gustafson says in some areas the weather and forage situation will be a major decision factor.
Some areas in the plain states have gotten dry over the last couple of months. They've gotten some recent rains. They'll need more rains to really help make this decision as to whether they want to add to the herd or, you know, it's a fairly significant price differential that they're looking at, and the opportunity cost of retaining these heifers versus selling them, it's going to be difficult.
And Gustafson says the collective result of that decision could affect the overall cattle market for years to come. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
These days, farming takes money, and that means that for you, every dollar counts. At Farm Credit, they understand the business side of farming, so when it comes time to borrow the money it takes to get started or to expand, you want a lender who understands all that's involved in owning a farm. Farm Credit loan officers know agriculture, and many farm themselves. So when you need to borrow money, call a lender that understands. Farm Credit, America's rural finance partner.
Equal housing lender.
And I would like to remind everyone that you can send in your own pearl of wisdom through our website at onthefarmradio.com. At that same website, you can also find a rather large archive of pearls of wisdom, all submitted by our listening audience. Our pearl of wisdom today comes in through that website and listener Heather Jean Reardon, who says, "You shouldn't resent growing old. Many people are denied that privilege." Thanks to Heather Jean Reardon for that pearl of wisdom. Have a great holiday weekend, everyone. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 10 o'clock, 23 minutes left in tonight's Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967 if you want to jump in these last few minutes. Wesley's been waiting. Hey, Wes, you're Head On. Wesley.
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah.
This is Wesley, you know. I haven't called in for a while.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, but sometimes I agree and disagree. That's what your show's all about, man.
Right. This is not an echo chamber. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
But if you know Jose, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked to a guy today, you know, I'm kind of an anti-war, but yet, I knew about Vietnam and stuff like that firsthand. And I talked to a guy today, you know, and I don't argue with people, you know.
Right.
But he wasn't there, and he seems to think that this war, you know, Iraq is fine. It's good. But the liberal press is saying that it is bad over there.
No, it really is bad over there.
It is. And you know, and I told him, I said, I think I'll sell my house and I'll just move over there since it's so nice.
Yeah, if it was good over there, there wouldn't be 50, you know, insurgents.
1,684 troops.
Yeah, and 50 and 50 insurgent attacks per day in the country.
Right, exactly. So do you see a connection between Vietnam and Iraq, you know?
Well, how
not the word quagmire, but... you know,
quagmire applies. You know, we went in there. We thought, you know, and the administration gave not 10 cents worth of thought to what was going to happen after they won the initial phase of the war, and now they're stuck.
Well, see, you know,
stuck in Vietnam.
In Vietnam, you know, nobody flew onto an airplane and said the war is over.
No, we didn't. No, there was no. LBJ would never have flown, and Nixon either.
Right.
They
never flew on and said, you know, the war is over, mission accomplished.
No, absolutely not.
That's the difference between this, you know. There's two different wars, you know.
Well, they are, but there's a common lesson in both of them, and that is even if you're the biggest, strongest nation on earth, you're going to have trouble if you go into somebody else's country and try to impose your will on them from 8,000 miles away.
That's right. That's right. Try doing that to West Virginians.
Yeah, if someone occupied us, we'd fight back for all we were worth, wouldn't we?
Only about 2 million of us. We'd fight, you know.
Yeah.
I would do it. I'd call you and say, Bob, people's coming, you know, and, you know, we're going to fight against them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know why it's so hard to understand. The polling data out there in Iraq, Wesley, indicates that a whole lot more Iraqis are unhappy with us being there than the ones who are happy with us being there.
Well, if you noticed on the news, you know, like this guy said, the liberal news says.
Well, he's been, it's like Rick Goodner was talking about earlier. He's repeating stuff that he has heard for years on end. The liberal media, the liberal media, the liberal media. If you say that long enough, people will start saying it for themselves, and they'll just assume it to be true with no analysis of the facts, of whether or not there's any facts supporting that assertion.
Well, but the truth is, you know, 1,600 Iraqis get killed, you know, but only 58 Americans get killed. Wasn't it the same in Vietnam? Many of you remember the CBS news, you know, you turn on the news and they'd say, we killed so many Viet Cong.
Yeah.
500 of them. But only 38 American soldiers is lost.
Right. And those onlys have their names on a wall in Washington, D.C. now. I don't think their families consider them very only. Do you, Wes?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Hey, it's always good to hear from you, Wesley. You have yourself a good Memorial Day weekend, all right?
You do the same, man.
Take care. We'll probably go up and put flowers on our loved ones' graves. It's worth remembering. A couple of other stories. You know, again, our government creates in some portion, to some degree, the culture that we live in. North Carolina cross burnings investigated. Well, how nice. Good to see that the traditional values are back in the Deep South. Three large crosses were burned in separate spots around the city during a span of just over an hour, and yellow flyers with Ku Klux Klan sayings were found at one location, police in Durham, North Carolina, said. Cross burnings Wednesday night marked the first time in recent memory that one of the South's most notorious symbols of racial hatred has been seen in the city. Look, it's making a comeback. Wonder why? Wonder if the hate and fear and paranoia that is inherent in the Republican Party might have something to do with that. Quote, at this day and time, I thought we'd be beyond that, said Mayor Bill Bell. Quote, people do things for different reasons, and I don't have the slightest idea why anyone would do this. Well, I got an idea, Mr. Mayor. They did it because we live in a time where hatred and fear is on the rise and is stalking the land. One was burned at 9:19 p.m. outside St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Probably too liberal. The next came at 9:54 p.m. atop a large pile of dirt near an apartment complex construction site. And the third was 10:28 p.m. at a downtown Durham intersection. So you got a minister in West Virginia thrown out of his congregation for saying that gay people are human beings and are loved by Christ just like the rest of us. You got three crosses burned in one night in Durham, North Carolina. And let's see, we've got the moral values president, right? Right. That's just... each cross, 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide, made of 4 2x4s, wrapped in burlap and doused in kerosene. Welcome to Bushmerica. That's Bushmerica with 3 K's. Meanwhile, down in Florida... you know, where they... never mind. I was going to go back to the other story. No, just leave it alone. Two high schools in the Boca Raton area, English departments, asking all incoming 11th graders to read from the book of Genesis over the summer. Olympic Heights High School also requires the reading of Genesis for honors 11th grade English classes. It's in an English course. Ostensibly, it would be literature. And frankly, there's a value in knowing the Bible. There's a value in knowing the Quran. There's a value in knowing the Bhagavad Gita. Because they are artifacts of the rise of human civilization. Now, at... one of the schools, I'm trying to see here, they also require the kids to read Ethan Frome. I remember reading Ethan Frome. I remember reading Ethan Frome like I remember dental work. Most of the early American literature is based on the Bible, one of the teachers said. It gives them a foundation so when they read other pieces of literature that make reference to it, they'll understand the allusions. But, of course, the objection was made, maybe teachers should explain the stories instead of requiring students to read the Bible. But any opportunity will be taken advantage of by the religious right to try to sneak religious proselytization in on unwary, unsuspecting students. Now, I guess I'm just a weirdo, but I prefer to do the religious teaching of my children with my lovely wife in our home. That's, you know, you frequently, you're forever hearing the right wing say, they took prayer out of the public schools, and oh, they're so sincere when they say it, and they're so painfully wrong. Prayer wasn't taken out of the public schools. Prayer has never, ever been removed from the public schools. But these people who, these groups that have an agenda of accumulating vast amounts of wealth on the backs of people who maybe aren't so sharp, tell them prayer's been taken out of the public schools. Isn't that terrible? The only thing that was removed from the public schools was a stated, endorsed, state-sponsored prayer, which, in my, to my way of thinking, is abject hypocrisy in the first place. Do you understand? Any kid, anywhere, any school can pray their heads off. I would bet that if they started speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor, that would also be tolerated. What we don't want, what I don't want as a parent, is to have some school system saying, this is the prayer you will pray. Here's your rug. Bow down toward Mecca. Or any other faith or denomination. We'll take care of that at home. We're responsible parents. We're pretty good that way. Let's go to the phones. Brian is with us. Nope. Moss Brian? Okay. Ed's with us. Hey, Ed. Ed.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good.
Really enjoyed your guest. It's unfortunate, probably, that enough of the stiff-necked Republicans wasn't listening in.
Oh, there's a bunch of them that listen in silence and every night and hang on my every word, Ed.
Yeah, well, I hope one of the local windbags listened to it. He's in that category that he talked about. And one of the other shows, said the very same thing he did. He said, I'll always run it by him three times. That way it takes. if that ain't Hitlerism, I don't know what is. But he's talking about North Carolina and the people down there. Anytime you have a strong chamber of commerce, then your clan is going to rise. We had it in the Farrah pants and so forth. Down the South, the Klan was strong. In fact, the Klan participated against the Union back in, I don't know, probably the late 60s and early 70s. They were real prevalent in their actions.
Not surprising, is it?
No, it isn't. But I just want to say, you know, I listen to these Republicans call in and talk about going to church and this type of stuff. They're the typical ones that go to those churches where the kind of preachers that we talk about get up there and talk Republican politics, and you can tell when they come out, they got that hateful, despisable, overbearing, tell you how to live attitude, and that's typical of that type of, and Bob, I want to be sure that I don't confuse Christians
right
with religion.
Right.
Religion and Christian, as you know, we both know, are a totally different thing.
There's
a lot of types of religion. Devil worshiping is a religion,
sure.
But it's not. But Christianity, I'm talking about good, honest Christians, are hard to find in these churches anymore because of the leadership of the kind of guy that was in Western North Carolina there.
Yeah.
And the one in Louisiana. And I'm just a sudden death on that kind of stuff. It's misguiding our children. It's misguided. They're misguiding the nation.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And it's so sad to see people who are otherwise well-meaning be suckered in and taken in by these people who have a completely different agenda. It's like our guest Rick mentioned. Whether it's Falwell or Robertson or that Kennedy fella, these people are millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a millionaire's agenda, and they are achieving their millionaire's agenda on the back of the beans and cornbread crowd.
Yeah, they bleed your pennies. It's just like old, what was his name? He's not a millionaire, he's a billionaire, the one that rents those flats and stuff everywhere he goes. I can't, Benny Hinn.
Oh, yes.
So what a stinking rotten rat he is.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love him to walk up and, you know, I'd like to lay hands on him. See how it turns out. But, you know, my attitude ain't much better than theirs, but I don't go to church and claim to be what they ought to be. But I just thought I'd call in. I really just appreciate the guest. And I hope, like you said, I hope some of these stinking Republicans are listening, but they just ain't got nerve enough to call you no more.
Well, they lurk and they hang in the corners, and but in large part, you know, they've taken their whippings. And they're not inclined to take it more than once because there's too much. It's part of the mental illness. There's too much confrontation of their delusional belief system.
Yeah, I do believe the one caller that calls in with a bunch of rhetoric all the time. I really believe he is mentally unbalanced. You know, and if he would go one time and they would recommend that he come back, I would pay his second visit. And that's an offer that's standing if he would go in and be checked. Because that guy is something else, you know, and all for the war, but too old to go. It's just a pitiful situation to see people like that out there. And hoorah, and the boys, our boys over here, yeah, hoorah, I'm for the war. Go get killed, people. And that's pitiful, you know. Anybody, you know, you talk about anti-American. How much more anti-American can you be than back and getting our boys killed?
Yeah, for no good reason.
Yeah, I mean, for a lie, a rotten, stinking lie.
And that's all it is, Ed. What else can you call it?
Yeah. Well, Bob, I just wanted to call in and make a comment on that, and just make the people aware. I wish the working people would catch on and relate what goes on to the Chamber of Commerce. Anytime they raise their head, the Klan comes right behind them. And I'm going to say again, before Bush is through, they'll have to build more prisons than one. You watch what I tell you. Because people are not going to go hungry anymore. They're going to take what they want, and they're going to be in trouble. You see it everywhere. The crime rate, no matter what they say, is up. Your local news. Or just listen to it. Hold ups and stuff that's going on right there in Raleigh County.
I know. Ed, you have yourself a great weekend and a very happy Memorial Day.
All right, and you too, Bob, and I'll talk to you sometime next week probably.
Okay, take care now. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne, let's finish it out.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Good. Listen, I know you don't have very much time. I just want to add one thing a little bit to what Ed said. You know, the people that are against us and the people that say all the bad things, they don't even have, they don't have enough faith in their own convictions to identify themselves. We don't even know if they're using their right names. People like myself, Ed, Mal, we're out there, buddy.
Yeah, real people.
We're out there. You know, our pictures in the paper, or we're standing out on a line, we're not afraid to be identified with our convictions. Apparently these other people aren't, because nobody knows who they are.
Well,
I don't even know if they're using their names.
What's the phrase, Wayne? The courage of your convictions.
Yes. I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I just wanted to add that.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
And to everybody, man, this is a good weekend.
Yeah, it is. And it's think back to what it really means.
Well, that's what people should do.
Yeah, and there's, how sad it is that there are 1,600 and how many Americans?
Four, and no one put it better than George Galloway?
Yeah.
A pack of lies.
Dead for a pack of lies. How much more tragic can you get than that?
And the worst, what makes it so tragic is that it's true.
And it's going to continue.
Yeah.
God.
Unless people have conviction.
Yeah.
Yes.
God forgive America.
There you go.
Wayne, do have a great weekend, and thanks for the call.
Okay, brother.
Bye now. All right, thanks everybody. Wayne, Ed, Wesley, Jose, Jim, Urachmiel, and especially our special guest this evening, Rick Goodner. I appreciate all of you very, very much. You make this by far it's the best job in Raleigh County. I've said it before. But for my money, it's the best job in the world. And you guys, in large part, make it that way. The show tonight was produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go on by. Look at the good work that Ben does. Over, 3.2 million hours of good liberal talk radio archived at White Rose Society. And the link there where you can also order the Fox Syndrome. Tuesday. No, Monday. Tuesday. You be there. I'll be here. Hey, Agnes.